Jesus.
Amen.
Before we get into the preaching of the Word of God tonight, we have a couple of young men that are going to be honored and presented with their usher's badge. Where's Brother Greg Keyes at? Brother Greg, would you come to the platform? We'll call these two men up, and we'll present them with their usher's badge.
All right, it sure is good to be in church on Sunday night. And we've had to change quite a few things since COVID last year and how we operate in the usher ministry. Before COVID hit, our young men were very faithful to take up our offering on Sunday evenings. And so with the way we do things now, we were trying to find other ways to use our young men. So if you'll notice on Sunday evenings, you will see them working the doors as you exit the building. And we have a couple young men that have been faithful, that have wanted to get back involved and stay involved. And so I'm going to ask them to come tonight. And first one is Hudson Dean. Come on up here, Hudson. And I'm going to ask if you'll just come over here to Pastor, and Pastor will present you with your badge. Hudson loves to usher. If you've never had the chance to talk to Hudson, he's just a trip, and he has to have the badge. It has the green magnet on it, and Hudson, that one has the green magnet on it. I want you to know that, buddy. So we're proud of Hudson. All right, and next up, we have William. Come on up here, buddy. Sister Julie came to me a few months back and said that William wanted to get involved in the usher ministry, and he's just been excited to help us out, and he's been faithful, and he looks sharp, and we appreciate William being willing to want to serve the Lord. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you, young man.
Good stuff. Amen. I'm glad that young people want to serve the Lord with their life. You know, you look around, you say, well, the devil's got all of our young people. Not all of them. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the young men and young ladies at Fellowship Baptist Church that choose to serve God with their life. Well, we have been going through on Wednesday nights. We've been in John 17, which is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about one of the things that led into that was how that the Lord Jesus talked about, in this world you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And Jesus has overcome. He is an overcomer.
Amen.
I wonder if you're an overcomer. We can be, we should be, overcomers. As a matter of fact, if you're not an overcomer, then you're overcome. There's no middle ground in this thing with God. You're either overcoming or you're being overcome. I believe that every person in the building tonight desires to be an overcomer. Now, I didn't say every person in the building tonight is overcoming. I said, I believe it's the desire to be an overcomer. I believe every Christian has a desire to be an overcomer. It's a desire. But a desire in itself is not enough. There's some things that God has laid down in His Word that must be followed. And as we sit this morning and listen to the preaching of the Word of God by Pastor David, we were reminded that God has provided some resources. He has some expectations for you and I that are saved, and He's given us some resources, and He's told us that we ought to set our affection on things above. We're to seek some things in the Christian experience. Here, John does the same thing. Now, that was Paul speaking to the church at Colossae. Here, John does the same thing. And so I want to, I hope, be a blessing to you. There's somebody here tonight that really wants to be an overcomer. And you've just struggled, and maybe there's been some inconsistency in your life. You're just hot one moment and cold the next. Hot one moment and cold the next. And I believe with all of my heart that tonight's message, if you will take it and apply it, God's going to use it to help you be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You know, I want you to know that when Jesus prayed, hold your hand here and turn back to John 17, there's something that Jesus, our Lord, in John chapter number 17, when he was praying, he mentioned opposition. The opposition that is mentioned in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus is the same opposition that you and I face today. The word world in John 17, are you there in John chapter 17? The word world is mentioned 19 times. In chapter 16, in verse number 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world," right? See, there's some things we can have in Jesus, but now in the world, "you shall have tribulation." He said, "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Amen. "And I'm going to teach you to overcome the world." That's what he's saying. I've overcome the world. You can overcome the world. You don't have to live up and down and up and down and off and on and hot and cold, inconsistent. You can be a constant overcomer in Christ Jesus. And so he began to pray. And as he began to pray, let me just run through a couple of these just so you'll understand what Jesus is praying for you. Look in verse number 11. He said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." Amen. The disciples. He said, I'm leaving the world, but now they're staying. Look, if you would, what he said in verse number 14. He said, "I have given them thy word." Aren't you glad for that? Where would we be without the Word of God? "I have given them thy word." This is what it's going to take to overcome the world. He is the Word, and so he overcame. And he left us the Word so we could overcome. And he said in verse number 14, he said the latter part of that, he said, "Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? Verse number 15, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." This old world is your opposition. As we'll see here in just a moment, some people get real nervous about opposition, but I want to just give you a couple of things that you need to understand about opposition. Number one, we need opposition. Opposition is good for us. It builds character. It gives us an opportunity to exercise faith. It gives us an opportunity to proclaim victory. Could you imagine what it would be like with no opposition? We'd all be just a bunch of spoiled babies. Opposition is good. We all need opposition. You say, "Preacher, I've had all the opposition I could take for a while." Well, now, opposition is good for us. It helps us. It equips us. Let's read on what he said in verse number 16. He said, "They are not of the world," right? They're not of the world. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of it. He said, "Even," in verse number 16, "as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He said, now God, he said, set them apart, help them to be overcomers, and it's coming through the word. Verse number 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." You say, now wait a minute, preacher. This is talking about the disciples, and that was back then, and they were overcomers, and the early church was on fire for God. But now, here we are. Is Jesus praying for us? And how are we going to get the resources, and how are we going to be overcomers? The same way they were. Look at verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone," meaning the disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's you and I, brethren. That's you and I. And so we have the resources. Jesus is praying. He's given us his word. As we go back to 1 John chapter number 5, I want to give you some things that will help you to be an overcomer. You don't have to let the devil drag you around in the muck and mire of this old world. Man. You do not have to live a defeated Christian life. You do not have to live in such a way to where you've returned back to the bondage. We've been set free. And we've been set free to worship God and to live for Him. and to be an influence on this old world in which we live. Now let's read this as we navigate down through these scriptures. Let's look at what John said. Whosoever, 1 John chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That would be me. Amen. 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 How about you? Amen. You've been born from above. Amen. Amen. Look what else he said in verse number 1. He said, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Let me ask you, do you love the great begatter? Amen. Amen. Then you love those in whom he has begotten. Amen. Amen. If you love the Father, you'll love his children. Right. That's what John's saying.
Right.
Amen. This is important to overcoming now. So you can't be an overcomer if you don't love God's people. This is what the scripture teaches. Well, now, preacher, I love God, but I just don't love the church. Well, now, wait a minute now. That's unscriptural. You can't love God and not love his children. Can't do it. It's an impossibility. He said in verse number 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And we're going to come back to that. Verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Here's the first thing I want you to get about overcoming, and that is, I'm just going to give you the word opposition. You see who our opposition is. Our opposition's not one another. It's not. So, I'm in opposition against my brother. Well, now, you may be, but that's not what God's will is. Need to get that right so you can be an overcomer. If you have opposition, if you have aught in your heart against God or against your brother, then you will not be an overcomer. Can't be an overcomer. You got to have love in your heart. Now, what the scripture says? Our opposition is not even in Washington. Our opposition is an unseen foe. It is the system of this world. Notice what it says in verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. See, this is what we're overcoming. There is a system in place. And I want you to understand this. This word world here comes from the word cosmos, which means a system or an order. And there is an order in place. And it is a satanic order. And we need to understand that. Now, I know that, listen, there are those who are carrying out that order, but behind the scenes is the unseen powers of the world of the spirits. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. This is our opposition. We are in a spiritual warfare. And in order to overcome, we have to understand this. This is a spiritual warfare. Now, there are some young people in here tonight and possibly some adults who don't get this yet. And they think, well, you know what? I can be a friend of the world and still keep a foot in the church. The devil is setting you up to destroy your life. Now, hear me. You're going to be overcome. You're going to be overcome. And he's going to take you down and he's going to destroy your life. Now, God doesn't want that. No, God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants you to be a victorious Christian in your life and in your living. And so he said, you have to understand there's opposition. Don't take the position, well, you know, I'm saved, and now because I'm saved, that means I'm just going to automatically live the victorious Christian life. No, it doesn't either. No, it doesn't. Just because you're saved, that doesn't mean you're going to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. The devil will overcome you. Can I tell you, I could give you scriptural character after scriptural character who the devil overcame. Children of God. Children of God. And yet they were overcome. And so he said, first of all, you have to realize there's opposition. Now, what is the opposition? Well, it's the world. Did you notice what he said? Look in verse number 4. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the opposition. It's a system. So what do you mean a system? Well, look down in verse number 19 of chapter 5. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. In other words, Satan has this world in his bosom. He is in control of this whole world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the God of this world. Now, he's not the creator of it, but he's the God of it. And we have to understand this. If we're going to be victorious, you have to understand who your enemy is. It's the world. Now, how is the world going to come in opposition against you? You say, how is that going to happen? How's the world going to be in opposition against me? Well, look in chapter 2 of 1 John. John had already explained this, and he said in chapter 2, look in verse number 15. He said, let me tell you about your enemy. Let me tell you about your opposition. In chapter 2 and verse number 15, John said this, love not the world. Now, immediately, my mind thinks about, God so loved the world. Shouldn't I love the world? Different word. Cosmos again. Love not the world system. The world system has things in place that are going to oppose you as a believer. Notice what the Bible says they are. Love not the world system that lieth in the lap of the devil, that lieth in wickedness. Love not this world, he said in verse number 15 of chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now here we go, here's the world system. And this is how it's going to work to oppose you and I as believers. The lust of the flesh, look at it in verse number 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's of the world system. Now there's some words I want you to write down. First of all, the lust of the flesh. That's passion. Now, I'm not talking about just erotic passion. I'm talking about this old world wants you and I to cater to the flesh. Whether it's erotic or whether it's just pampering, whether it's just catering to, the world system says get all you can and can't all you can get. Go for the gusto, right? Look out for big number one. That's what the world system says. You deserve more. That's what the world says. But that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. Anytime I hear someone say that, I cringe. Oh, you deserve better. Oh, listen, I'm getting far better than I deserve. Let me tell you that. Amen. Not because I deserve it either. But see, this is what the world teaches. Passion. The lust of the flesh. I hope you'll remember that. The lust of the flesh. Then he said the lust of the eyes. You know what that is? Possession. See, the eyes have an appetite. You thought your stomach was the only thing that had an appetite, didn't you? Our eyes have an appetite. See it, want it, get it. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And we have to be careful what we allow our eyes to look upon. Because our eyes can become very greedy and we can begin to think, I need this and I need that and I need this. Well, all of us have more than we need anyway. How many people have storage rooms full of stuff? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. God's looking. The lust of the flesh, passion. The lust of the eyes, possessions. The pride of life, position. See, these are the opposition. Position. I want to be out front. I want to be the smartest, the greatest, right? I want to be number one. I'm number one. Well, Jesus is number one. Amen. But this is the world system, and the world system will suck us into it. And here John, writing to these believers, said in verse number 15 and 16, he said, you be careful. You be careful about the world. The world is your opposition. Now, I could say much more about this, but I'm not going to because I want to get down to how we can be overcomers. But I do want you to write that down. Opposition. I want you to understand there's opposition, and the world is the opposition. That's why Jesus said, we're not of the world. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, you can become a part of the world as you're in the world if you don't have the love of the Father in you. Before I turn from this passage, I do want you to notice what it says in verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's no way that you can be driven by the things of this world and have the love of God in your heart. There's no way. Why? The world has cheap substitutes. I want to ask you a question. I love steak.
Amen,
I thought I was preaching to a bunch of vegetarians. I love steak. And if I'm eating a good steak, or I've just completed a good steak, and someone comes beside me and says, I've got some kale here. I don't like greens. Got some kale here. Won't you eat some of this kale, preacher? I'm not going to be eating any green grass when I can eat me a good grass-fed steak. Somebody say amen right there. Can I tell you, that's the way it is now. See, the world doesn't have anything to offer that can compare to what God has to offer. And Satan, our opposition, has so fooled people to make them believe that there's something out in the world that's going to please them. If you have been feeding from God's table, you won't have an itch that Satan can scratch. I'll tell you that. Amen? Amen? You won't. And so we need to be real careful. Real careful about this loving the world and loving the Father. If I love the Father the way I need to love God, the world has nothing to offer me. If you find yourself gravitating to the things of the world, you're not feasting on the things of God. So be careful. You're heading in the wrong direction. So opposition, as I've said, there's so many other things that could be said here, but I want to get to the next one. Obedience. Now, this gets to what Brother David was talking about this morning. Now we're going to practice. Practice living the life above. How can it happen? This is just so simple. So simple. That I just began to look and look, and I thought, is this it? John, is this it? John said, this is it. It's just as simple as keeping God's commandments. I want you to notice what John does all through his letter right here in 1 John. He just keeps saying, do what God said, do what God said, do what God said. Keep his commandments, keep his commandments. Just do what God says. See, our problem is we want to do some of what God says and receive all of what God has to offer. But God said, I want you to do what I say. I want us to go through and look at it again. Look what he said here. He said in verse number 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. How can you show you love God according to that verse of Scripture? You keep his commandments. As a matter of fact, if you'll hold your place here, and let's go back to John chapter 14 just for a moment. In John chapter 14, Jesus just came right out and said it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Say, now, preacher, I love God, but I'm not keeping his commandments. I'm going to tell you what John said. He said, you're a liar. Now, I didn't say that. John did. So when you get to heaven, you get with John on that. See, if I say I love God and I don't keep his commandments, that's just not so. Look at John chapter 14. Are you there? John chapter number 14, look at verse number 15. In John 14, verse number 15, Jesus made it just as clear as it can be. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse number 23 of chapter 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. I don't think you could get any clearer than that. We're living in a day where Christians want to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, do not want to abide by the Word of God, don't want to come under the clear teachings of the Word of God, and still want the victory that comes in Christ. And it's not going to happen, brethren. There is no victory apart from obedience. Please, please, I pray that somebody would get some help. There's no victory apart from obedience. There cannot be. We'll go back to 1 John. John said this in verse number 2. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. You can't love God without loving His children. Is that what the Bible says? And you can't love God, look at verse number 2, without keeping His commandments. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. Look at verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. John said it over and over again. Go back with me into 1 John chapter 1, and let's just kind of go down through some of these verses. Look at verse number 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, what's that mean? It means just do what God said. Just walk in God's way. Just follow God's word. Look, if you would, over in chapter 2 and verse number 2. It says, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Verse 4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth's not in him. Look at verse number 5. But whoso keepeth His word, verse number 6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He also walked. It just says, just do what God said. Just keep God's commandments. It's all, but preacher, they're so burdensome. Well, I'm going to give you a few more, and then we'll see what John said about that. Let's look at just a few more, okay? Go over to chapter number 2 in verse number 20. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. Say, preacher, I can't keep His commandments. Well, God's given you a person that'll help you keep His commandments. The Holy Spirit of God. Look in verse number 21. I have not written. The Bible is written. The Bible gives us the commandments. The Bible tells us what to do. And then God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can do what God said to do. Verse number 26. These things have I written. Verse number 27. But the anointing which you have received. Look at chapter number 3. Verse number 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because what? We keep His commandments. Verse number 23 says, and this is His commandment. Verse number 24, and he that keepeth His commandments. Brethren, what is God saying? God is saying, I have given commandments, and if you want to be an overcomer, you need to keep My commandments. Now let's go back to chapter number 5 and see what John said about His commandments in verse number 3. He said His commandments are not grievous. Now here's a lie of the devil. The lie of the devil is, well, it's hard to live the Christian life. No, it's not. It is if you're living it in the flesh. It'll wear you down. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit, God lives the Christian life through us. Amen. We have a comforter, we have a come alongside, we have the Holy Spirit of God, we have a divine nature in us so that we can keep His commandments. You'll be an overcomer. And I believe you do. I believe every Christian at some point in their life wants to be an overcomer. But the only way we can be overcomers is keep His commandments. It's the only way. We cannot break God's commandments and be overcomers. There's no way. It's just as simple as this. Obedience. Obedience. Overcoming and obedience go together. We cannot live the overcomer's life in a life of disobedience to God's commandments. Are you keeping His commandments? Those that keep God's commandments are living the overcomer's life. Those that are not, miserable. Miserable. And will continue to be until they make the decision, I am going to keep God's commandments. Let me give you a lie before I move on from this. Another lie from the devil. Another lie from the opposition. Well, God's commandments are grievous. They're burdensome. They're irksome. God just has a bunch of rules and thou shalt not, and thou shalt, and every time I turn around, I'm being told by some preacher what I can't do because I'm a Christian. Let me tell you, when God says thou shalt not, what he is saying is don't hurt yourself. So when you read the thou shalt nots in the scripture, I want you to start interpreting it as that. What he's saying is, Dale Freeman, thou shalt not. Dale, don't you hurt yourself. I'm your father, and you're my child, and I don't want to see you hurt yourself, so thou shalt not. Amen. Right? Amen. Don't do it. Amen. You're hurt because of it. But you know, there's a different side too. God's word is not just filled from things we shouldn't do. God's word is filled with things we should do. And what's God saying when he says, thou shalt? He's saying, help yourself. Enjoy life. Right? Yeah. Do yourself some good. Listen, God didn't give us commandments for me to do so that he would benefit. God is God. God doesn't benefit from his commandments. God gave us his commandments that we might benefit. And so when God says, thou shalt not, he's saying, now don't hurt yourself. And when he says, thou shalt, he's saying, help yourself. Do yourself some good. You'll be better for it when you do what I say. Amen. How many of you can testify that when you have done what God said to do, you're better for it?
Amen.
Amen. So don't you let the devil lie to you now and tell you, well, you know, the Bible's just a set of rules and I can't do this and I can't do that and I have to go there and I have to do this. Oh, no. Oh, no. All of that's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. God has set up parameters. God has set up guardrails and guidelines so that we can live the best possible life on this earth as we follow his footsteps. And so he said, I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to be an overcomer. He said, the way you overcome, number one, is by keeping his commandments. And you will if you love God. We keep his commandments if we love him. And then notice what he said in verse number 4. The latter part of verse 3 says, now they're not grievous, so don't believe the lie of the devil now. They're not grievous. And he said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Then he said this, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So there's a couple of things in this verse that we need to understand. Number one, I'm a candidate to be an overcomer because I'm born of God. Amen. I've been born from above. I've received a new birth. Amen. Listen, when you got saved, God put a divine nature in you. Hold your place here and turn over to 1 Peter just for a moment. 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. That's just a few pages back. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look in verse number 3. Now I'm talking to believers. Now if you're here and you're not saved, you'll never overcome. The devil's going to tell you, jump! And you're going to say, how high? The devil's going to control everything about your life. He's going to, listen, he's going to just use you up. He's going to keep you in bondage. You'll never know what it is to have joy if you're not saved. Never. Because the devil has got you. But now if you're saved in the grace of God, the devil doesn't have you. And you do not have to live under the dominion of sin. And the scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, brethren, when you got saved, you became a partaker of the divine nature. The Spirit of God lives in you. Amen. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means that there's some things that the divine nature is going to help you to do. In verse number 4, it says it's going to help you to escape the corruption that is through this world through lust. But it also said this in verse, skip down to verse 10, and there's a lot in here, and you read it when you get home. But in verse number 10, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You're going to be an overcomer. As you have received the divine nature of God, if you will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, you will not be overcome, you will be an overcomer. That's what he's saying. So we have the Word of God. The Word of God is going to help us to be an overcomer. We have the Spirit of God. It's going to help us to be an overcomer. Let's go back to chapter 5 in 1 John. We have to obey the Word of God. We have to keep His commandments. We have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being an overcomer. Someone who can live above. We don't have to live below. We can live above. Don't have to live the inconsistent life of off and on and in and out and happy and sad and just, listen, the devil sold the church a bill of goods, and many churches are buying into it. Many Christians are buying into it. Well, you know, we're in this old world and we just have to be sad and sorrowful and we just have to be defeated. No, you don't. No, no. We can be overcomers. As a matter of fact, we all should be overcomers. Let me give you these three things and then I'll be through. In chapter number 5, he said, first of all, in verse number 4, he said, if you're born again, you can be an overcomer. Are you saved? There's a way you can know you're saved. If you keep His commandments, you've been born of God. If you have no desire to keep His commandments, you have every right to doubt that you've ever been saved in the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So when I preach that's pretty hard. Well, now, you could just read through 1 John. It'll say over and over and over again. He that saith that he has been born again and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If there's no desire in your heart to keep the commandments of God, to serve God, to do what's right, you have every right to doubt that you've ever been born again. If you do not love God, if you do not love the brethren, you have every right to doubt that you've ever been born again. I'm not talking, see, we've got a bunch of folks filling our churches up that's had some kind of little religious experience. I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm talking about a relationship with God Almighty, being born from above. And the reason a lot of folks are struggling, and the reason a lot of folks have no desire to do anything that the Scripture teaches, they've never been born again. So he said, you can be an overcomer, but now you have to be born from above. Look in verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh. And then he said this, and this in verse number 4. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it's not just about a birth, it's about a belief. You can be born from above and not exercise your faith to live the Christian life. There was a group of Israelites who came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt under the blood of the Passover lamb, but they didn't go into the victorious land of Canaan. You know why? Unbelief. No faith. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't act on faith. Is your life characterized by faith? See, a lot of folks think that you're going to be an overcomer. Now, please don't miss this, by trying. We're not overcomers by trying. We're overcomers by trusting. Amen. Please hear me now. Well, preacher, I'm going to try harder. It's not going to work. We don't become overcomers by trying. We become overcomers by trusting. Isn't that what the Bible says? Look again. The Bible's always right, brethren. It says in verse number 4, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's faith. If I were to ask folks sitting in the church tonight, how many of you believe the Bible? Most of you, if not all of you, would say, I believe the Bible. But then the question, how many of you are acting on the truth of the Bible? Now, that's a little bit different. See, it's easy to say what we believe with our mouths, but really what we believe is what we do, not what we say. See, a man can say, I believe the Bible teaches you ought to tithe. Are you tithing? Boy, it got real quiet then. Well, I believe if you give, God will give back. Are you practicing it? Amen. I believe if you sow, you'll reap. Yeah. So it's one thing to say what we believe, but what are we practicing that we believe? See, believing is more than just a blind faith without evidence. It's a bold faith in doing what God said, believing that God said it so much, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God said do, regardless if anybody agrees with me or not. I've been reading through the book of Joshua in preparation for some messages on some Sunday mornings, and I just thought about how that God told Joshua and the children of Israel, I want you to march around that city. And no doubt in their minds they was thinking, this is kind of an unusual battle strategy. But you know what they did? They did it. Why? God said do it. So faith is taking God at His word and acting on what God said. So number one, there's a birth. That's how we become an overcomer. Got to be saved now. You'll never be an overcomer until you've had the new birth. And then number two, there's a belief. There's that faith. That faith. I have to live by faith. See, faith doesn't do the math and then say, well, I think we can afford to tithe this time. That's not faith. Faith is taking God's off the top and giving it to the Lord. Somebody say amen with me. I don't talk about money much, but when I do, I expect an amen. I'm saying that it's easy to say what we believe, but if we're not practicing what we say we believe, we have every right to doubt that we really believe it. I believe that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Who are you sharing it with? You sure you believe that? How many lost people cross our paths that we don't share the gospel with? It's either one of two things. We either don't believe the power of God, the gospel of Christ is the power of God, or we just don't care if those folks die and go to hell. So that's kind of strong, preacher. Yeah, I know. But you know what? We need to understand that the Bible, when it says that our faith is what's going to help us be overcomers, we have to do more than just say, I believe it. We have to practice it. It's acting on what God said. Amen. Did you know the Bible says in verse number 5, who is he that overcometh the world? Look at it. But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
What's he saying? He's saying, when you are born of God, when you have a belief, when you have faith, Jesus is going to become so real to you. It's not just going to be something that the preacher mentions, or just something that you think about abstractly. It's going to be something someone that is in a relationship, someone that you're so close to, that it's going to be so real. Not just words that we speak, but it's going to be actions that we take. So we said that in order to become an overcomer, in order to be an overcomer, number one, it's going to take a new birth. And then it's going to take faith. And faith is getting in God's word, believing and keeping His commandments. It's not enough just to know what God said. We have to do what God said if we're going to be overcomers. And then finally, in verse number 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, there's a lot of discussion on what this water is. Some people say, well, it speaks of the natural, you know, the natural birth or the fleshly birth. Some say, well, it was when the spear was thrust to his side. We'll not discuss the water tonight. I want to talk to you about the blood as we bring this to a final point here. How are we going to be overcomers? Well, number one, I want you to understand something. Brethren, we're supernatural. And sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. If you're saved, you're supernatural. The Spirit of God lives in you. We hear about as far as I know, I've never seen one of these superheroes. Say, well, they have superpowers. I've got them beat. I have supernatural power. You do too if you're saved. Supernatural power. The Spirit of God lives in us, brethren. I can't wrap my mind around that, but it is so. And He's going to help me be an overcomer. He's going to help you be an overcomer. But there's something else at work in our lives. Revelation chapter 12, in verse number 11, it says that they overcame him, meaning Satan. They overcame him now. In chapter 12, verse number 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus is a very powerful thing. I wish I could tell you that I understood just a little bit about it, but I really don't. I've looked into it. I've read material about the chemistry of the blood. I've read about hematology. I've tried to look in, and I know a very little bit about it, and what little I know about it is fascinating. It's fascinating. But I know that the blood of Jesus helps me to be an overcomer. It's something that we need to claim. I can remember, I like to read after some Puritan writers. We can close our Bibles and stand to our feet. I like to read after some Puritan writers. And some of them Puritan writers constantly talk about pleading or claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is working in our effect. It helps us to be an overcomer. Are you an overcomer? There's so many Christians today that are just overcome. I don't want to live my life that way. I want to be an overcomer. I thought about what would it be like if every Christian, when you see people and somebody said, how are you doing today, Brother Corey? If you said, I'm overcoming. Amen. How are you doing, Brother Barry? I'm overcoming. How are you doing, Brother Greg? I'm overcoming. Yeah, amen. Boy, folks, just, how are you doing? Well, okay, I guess. What? See, we fall into that, don't we? We fall into that. But brethren, we're overcomers. We have been saved to be overcome. This world shouldn't have that effect on our lives. The world shouldn't have the effect where it has us in its clutches and where it just it enslaves us and it brings us down. We should have an overcoming spirit to where when folks say, how are you doing today? I'm overcoming today. How are you doing? Amen. I'm not being overcome. I'm overcoming. I'm living the victorious Christian life that's been made available to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads together.